According to a report in today's journal, the American Medical Association, in 1990, it cost about $435 billion to care for the chronically ill, patients with diseases like cancer, diabetes, and AIDS. That is about half of all health care costs. The study says the American healthcare system is not set up to handle these long-term illnesses, and while HMOs promise to improve the delivery of all medical care, patients with chronic illnesses say getting the care they need from their HMOs is an ongoing battle. Rachel Gottbaum reports.
At the Hematology Oncology Clinic at Children's Hospital in Oakland, kids attached to portable IV pumps are wandering the halls. Before she receives her monthly blood transfusion, 20-year-old Chantal Royale is getting weighed.
Here you go. Step off for a second and let it zero. And it's right there. Now you can step on it.
Chantal has sickle cell anemia. The blood disorder is commonly found among African Americans whose misshapen red blood cells interfere with the oxygen supply and the flow of blood. The disease can be extremely painful, cause damage to vital organs, and can be fatal. Chantal is like many young people who come from all over Northern California to get treatment at this region's Center for Children with Cancer and Other Blood Diseases. Every month she drives from Fresno, a 3-hour journey each way, to get her blood transfusions. But several months ago, Chantal says her HMO suddenly stopped paying for her treatment here.
I was paying for stuff at first, but then ever since I had the stroke, I've been having to come up here every month. Like, expenses have been really going up high, and so they tripping and stuff, saying they didn't want to pay for this and they don't want to pay for that. I have to get prior authorization for everything I do now.
Chantal's doctor is Elliot Vachinsky, who runs the oncology hematology department at Children's. According to Vachinsky, Chantal's HMO arranged for her to be treated at a hospital in Fresno, where the staff had little training in sickle cell disease. Chantal's new doctor, who was assigned by her HMO, told Vachinsky he did not feel qualified to treat Chantal. Dr. Vachinsky battled the HMO to keep paying for Chantal's treatment at Children's. In the meantime, the Oakland hospital absorbed the cost of her monthly blood transfusions. Vachinsky says he typically has to fight with managed care plans to get treatment approved for his patients.
The way it works is that at first the patient's denied the services and I get called by one of my associates. I call the insurance company myself and I speak to the initial intake person who denies that. Eventually I have to demand to speak to the medical director or threaten to go to the newspapers. And once I make that threat with the position that I'm in and I'm fairly well established, then I get to speak to the medical director. Then I get to write a detailed summary with documentation of why this is necessary, and then they review that, and with enough political clout and time invested, many of these things I can get worked out, but there's enough deterrence put into the system that the average person would have extreme difficulty in getting through this.
Vachinsky refuses to name Chantal's HMO or any of the other health plans he criticizes. He fears they would retaliate against him or his patients. He says HMOs are reluctant to pay for the care of his chronically ill patients because treating them can cost 6 times more than the care of a healthy child.
We're at a period in time when, at one hand, new technology and new therapy can dramatically change the outcome of people with rare genetic diseases, and at the same time, their access to get that treatment is being denied or restricted.
As more Medicaid and Medicare patients switch into HMOs, the chronically ill have become the fastest-growing group of people covered by managed care plans. Dr. Marcus Conant, who runs one of the largest AIDS practices in San Francisco, says new treatments are keeping people with HIV disease alive longer, but their cases are becoming more complicated. Conant says this conflicts with the demands of the HMOs, who are trying to cut costs and are pressuring doctors to spend less time with patients.
The patient may come in and say, since I last saw you, I've been throwing up a little bit, and I've developed a vaginal discharge, and I have some floaters in front of my eye, and my husband won't have sex with me anymore because he's afraid of contracting this disease, and we haven't told the family yet because they live back east and they're quite elderly, and we're afraid the shock of finding out that I got infected from a transfusion back 10 years ago would kill my mother. Now, these are problems that the patient's presenting, and you're supposed to deal with that in 15 minutes?
Like Dr. Vachinsky, Dr. Conant also faces numerous obstacles trying to get medical care approved for his patients. But Myra Schneider, president of the California Association of HMOs, disputes claims that HMOs are not providing adequate care to their chronically ill members. She says a lot of complaints are coming from patients who are used to the old way of doing things, where they could get what they wanted when they wanted it.
In healthcare, we have to keep in mind that it is very, very personal. But in chronic disease, as in other diseases, even though it may appear to the patient to be a delay, the overall is they do get the treatment they need and they do get the quality of care that they need.
Schneider says under the old regime, doctors often ran too many tests and performed unnecessary procedures, which can be harmful to patients. In managed care, she says, doctors must adjust to a new and more efficient system.
If it's a difference of opinion about what treatment a particular patient should get, should they get X treatment versus Y treatment, and the physicians, it's usually two physicians, disagree on it, they may get the treatment that the HMO is recommending. They may be used to doing it their way, but when they move into an HMO or a medical group, they abide by more general protocols.
Schneider says many HMOs now have healthcare teams to look after one chronically ill patient, and a nurse case manager may coordinate that person's care. Other programs include group education and self-care classes. But not all managed care plans have such programs in place, and those that have them don't yet offer the services to all their chronically ill patients. In the meantime, patient groups are trying to persuade HMOs to accept the treatment recommendations of the American Diabetes Association, the American Cancer Society, and other organizations that represent patients. Merle Weinberg, president of the National Health Council, which advocates for dozens of patient groups, says she's starting to see real progress in how HMOs care for their chronically ill members.
We are right at a critical juncture that the managed care organizations realize that they have a communication and an image problem. And therefore, what I've been perceiving is that they are at the point of beginning to reach out to ask their patients, what do you think about the care you're getting? How satisfied are you with all aspects of the care? And they're feeling more competitive pressure with other managed care to take the time to do exactly that.
Around the country, there have been attempts by states to regulate HMOs with new laws, though the problems of the chronically ill are rarely addressed. But as more of these patients enroll into managed care plans, the pressure to deal with their medical needs is likely to increase. For National Public Radio, I'm Rachel Gottbaum in San Francisco.